Good morning. This is Becky Spieth. I'm excited that you guys are here with me this morning. Excuse me. And just wanted to get started with part two of God's Blueprint for Your Future. We started last week, and if you didn't listen to that, make sure that you go back and listen. All the calls from last year and I think several other years previous are archived on my website. If you go to BeckySpieth.com, you'll see that they're there, and you can, of course, pull them up and listen. But that's where you'll find this year's start already and the replay. I believe it's under the Resources tab, if I'm not mistaken. And today we're going to be talking about part two of God's Blueprint for Your Future, because I kind of feel like it's time to get going, get started. And a lot of the prayer requests this morning were about that exact same thing. So I'm pretty excited about that. We were studying in Habakkuk, and we're going to be there again this morning. We're going to be in chapter 3. But let's go to the Lord in prayer first. Father God, thank you so much for another amazing and incredible day. Lord, regardless if it's cold outside or gloomy, Lord, we know that there's always sunshine in our heart when you're in there. And Lord, we just thank you for that, that we can create our exciting next new thing, our new future, the next thing that's going to be happening. So, Father God, I just thank you for that. Lord, I pray that you will just be with us, that you would speak through my mouth, Lord, that you would give me supernatural recall and wisdom, and that it would be precisely what you would have for your children each and every moment of this week and this day. Lord, I thank you that you will give us a new revelation for a new year and a new week. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So I don't know if you guys know the story of Habakkuk, but his whole book, I just love it because he starts off complaining. And how many times do we start off our lives complaining? Right? It's just like, oh, well, we're going to just let the Lord know, like, I'm just tired of this. And he tells us to enter into his presence with thanksgiving and praise, right? And what do we do instead? We're like, oh, Lord, you know, I want to pray now because I've got something to complain about, or I've got something I need you to fix. And then we started off with actually like, okay, Lord, I know I'm supposed to worship you, I know I'm supposed to praise you, but I'm doing this just so that I can get to this complaint. And Lord, you better answer me because I don't know if you really know what you're doing here. And that's what Habakkuk really was doing and what he was saying. And I don't know if that's why he has such a silly name or not, but his name actually means to embrace. And so for me, that's one thing that I would really encourage you to do is to embrace this new year. I'm excited because God wants us to really understand that he does know what's going on and that we can be trusted and that he loves us unconditionally no matter what. So what he does is Habakkuk starts us off by just kind of waiting on the Lord. He tells his complaint, and then the Lord doesn't really answer him right away. And he says, Lord, how long do I have to keep crying out to you for your help and for you to listen to me? And I hope that we have this understanding that he is going to listen to us, that he is going to that we can trust him, that he's going to answer our prayers no matter what. He then goes on and tells us in chapter 2, and I'm just giving you just a brief overview about what we talked about last week, was that he talks a little bit about his vision and the blueprint for the future. And he tells us that we need to make sure that it's written down and that it's given to people, that it should be acted on, that it's a time, it's for a selected time in the future, that it motivates us towards our goal, that it shouldn't be discarded. And we need to know that regardless, if God gave it to us, he's not going to allow us to fail, right? So we're pretty excited that God has given us each one a blueprint for this year. Many of us picked a word last year, and a word last week for the year, and it's an exciting, exciting time. And I know some of you were sharing even your words with me this morning. So I'm excited to see what God's going to do. You know, Peter was sharing that his word was around persistence and blooming. And then Carol said, you know, I changed mine to anticipation. But if you haven't shared what your word is with us, go to Leaders Empowered on Facebook. That's my Facebook page, Leaders Empowered, for my general information. And share with me what your word is. My word this year is flourish, and I talked to you a little bit about that last week, but I want to continue because what we want to do is talk about the rest of the blueprint that God has for us. You know, Habakkuk 2:1-20 talks about having to wait. And I don't know about you, but I hate having to wait. And sometimes God does ask us to wait, doesn't he? And sometimes we have a little bit of a slower start to the year than what we had anticipated. But Habakkuk teaches us that leaders have to learn to cherish the waiting time sometimes before we get our answers. And that's what I think the Lord put Habakkuk in the word for us to remember, is that sometimes, you know, he's got the answer. He's got our back. He's going to do those things. But he's going to sometimes ask us to wait. Not always, but sometimes when we ask him something, we have to wait. You know, the one thing that I also get confused on sometimes is not everything happens to conform to God's will and wishes. And so sometimes we have to take a look and step back and look to see, like, why is he asking us to wait? And sometimes we forget that, you know, God doesn't miss anything. And sometimes we're a little bit anxious and we want to put the cart before the horse, per se, and we just want to say, okay, God, let's just have it right now. But we know that God's timing is always perfect, isn't it? Sometimes it seems like he's going to run late, but he never does. He runs right on time. I've been in that situation where it's been right to that very last moment, and then God shows up in such an amazing way. Sometimes God doesn't show up in the ways that we anticipate, though, does he? And so sometimes we feel like things have been overlooked. And so I want you to know that God has his eye on you. He knows every hair on your head. He cares about the most important thing to you, the little tiny thing, even that secret desire that maybe you haven't voiced or shared with anyone just yet. Maybe it's a part of the vision that you just feel like it's too precious or too tender to be able to share at this point. I want you to know that God still wants you to write it down. He wants you to share it with people. He wants you to start acting on those little things because he hasn't missed the tiniest detail. The other thing that I think happens sometimes too, and this is something I see with the enemy, and we've talked about this a lot in the past, about how one of the biggest tactics from the enemy is to distract us, right? And so what happens is sometimes while we're in that waiting period, the enemy kind of wiggles in and he sneaks in, and what he does is he tries to distract us from continuing and being in continual prayer and faithfulness around the vision that God has given us. So be mindful of that if you feel like you're waiting and waiting, continue to seek. Because it tells us in the Word that we are supposed to seek with unwavering faith, right? We're not to doubt at all. And then the Lord will give us exactly what we've asked for. Now, one of the things that I know is that there are five R's that we're going to talk about today in regard to the rest of your blueprint for the future. If you remember last week, we finished up talking about commitment. Commitment is huge, you know, and I know that that's part of the reason why sometimes we don't get our answers right away is because God wants to build our faithfulness muscle, right? He wants us to stay in prayer. He wants us to continue to act in faith. We know that our circumstances are all changeable and the Word of God is not, and we have to stay in faith sometimes to see God's vision come to life and to see it come to fruition. But what we want to do is we want to make sure that we build that muscle. A lot of people are talking about fitness right now. It's the beginning of the year. We're all talking about New Year's goals and resolutions and losing weight and getting more fit and more trim and things like that. And what happens when you build a muscle is sometimes you've got to tear it down and then rebuild it, right? That once it's torn down, when we rebuild it, that's how it actually grows. And we've got to keep repeating some of the same exercises, don't we? We go do it over and over and over again, and then pretty soon we look in the mirror, it's like, oh, wow, that muscle's there. That's pretty amazing. It's not just all of a sudden we go and we walk into the gym and we go and we stand in front of the weightlifting machine and we say, okay, God, give me my muscles. And then we open up our eyes and ta-da, we look in the mirror and we expect those muscles to already be there. Could God put those muscles on our body? Absolutely. He tells us in the Word that he even did that for dry bones, right? For Ezekiel. But what happens is it takes repetition. It takes us doing something. It tells us also in the Word that faith without works is dead. So sometimes it requires that we go out and we do something. He tells us in the Word in Deuteronomy 8:18 that He's given us the ability to, listen to this word, create wealth. That means that He's given us the responsibility, He's given us the ability, but we've got to go and do something in order to make it happen. We can't just say, hey, God, I want more sales, I want more bookings, I want more people on my team, I want to be able to have more appointments, I want the job. He says, no, go and do something about it. I've given you the ability to create wealth. So let's look at what resources, wisdom, and people follow commitment, because I think that's the missing piece that a lot of times we forget when we've got our word, we've got our vision, we know what we want for the new year, and we forget about the commitment. You know, one of the things that I love, and I'm taking this right from my John Maxwell Leadership Bible. I read it in there, and I just thought it was so powerful. It tells us at the very end of Habakkuk, he says, the prophet concludes his book with a ringing declaration of his commitment. He recommits himself to God, to his vision, and to the destiny of his nation. So I'm going to ask you today to recommit your life to God. Tell him, you know what, Lord, I'm willing to do whatever you'd want me to do this year. I'm willing to go wherever you want me to go. And then get really clear about what your vision is. What has he given you for this year? What is it for this year that you're required to do, that he's asked you to do? And then I want you to recommit to the destiny that he's put before you. Maybe it is the destiny of our nation. Maybe it's not. So I want to encourage you this morning to be able to make that declaration of recommitment. Now, regardless of what happened, it said he would trust the process in which God had placed him. Have you been in that place where you did not understand the process? Oh, my goodness, I have. I mean, it's been pretty crazy sometimes. And I look around and I'm like, Lord, that's not how I thought this was supposed to work out or how this was supposed to be. But God is faithful, isn't he? So God placed Habakkuk in a crazy, crazy process. And God might have you in a crazy, crazy process, but trust him. It goes on to tell us that this is the kind of attitude that enables leaders to make it. Once we make this kind of commitment, all sorts of resources, wisdom, and people will follow. So don't expect to have the resources, the wisdom, the people until you have made the commitment to your vision, to God, to your destiny that he's put before you. It says, when leaders commit in this way, followers rise to the occasion despite of adverse circumstances. You know, I've seen this happen over and over again. Like, I've had a vision, and I've wanted to accomplish something of a great magnitude, but it doesn't seem to happen until I've really, really committed. I don't get the people on board or anything else until I say, you know what, I'm so excited about this, and then I start walking it out. I commit and I put some action behind it, and then all of a sudden I've got other people that want to join in the process. And I think that's the same for our businesses. I think that's the same for us in any endeavor that we take on. So Habakkuk teaches us the steps to this type of commitment. He says, number one, request. That's our first R. Go ahead and ask for God's wisdom and his will to be done. So if God's given you, and this is something that I always struggled with, well, how do I know if it's God's will, right? If God's given you the thought, the desire, that burning desire in your heart to see something come to fruition, that is that's because he's given it to you. It can be done. It is his will. Or at least it's his will to start walking it out. And then once you start walking it out, then he'll maybe give you a different path or a different direction. But he's asked you to walk those first few steps out in order to get to the thing that is his will that needs to be done. The second R is to relax. boy, this is a hard one for most of us because we've got that type A personality, right, where we just want to go, we want to accomplish things. He says, rest in his control, trust in his power, and in his providence. How do we truly show that we understand and we understand what God has for us and we truly trust him? It's when we can relax in it. It's when we're not stressing about every detail and every component of it. Isn't that the truth? It's when we can truly relax and rest and just know that, you know what, he's got our back. He's got this. He's got your vision. He's got 2017 for you. The third R is to receive. Listen and wait for his instruction, and then remain open to change. Yeah, I know it's kind of funny because we say like, okay, yes, we're going to follow God's will and we're going to work this plan out and we work the whole vision out and each detail of the plan and we've got to have every tiny, tiny detail in place. And then what happens is God's like, okay, cool, thanks. Now, and then he just totally like turns it all around and it's kind of like he mixes it all up again. I can remember as a little kid, we would play the matching game, right? And then I would hate it if somebody would mix the cards up because I kind of thought I knew where they were going to be coming and where God was going to turn them up, right, or turn them over for us. Surprise, God mixes things up on us, but it's okay because he wants us to what? Trust and obey. Do you remember that song from Sunday school that would say, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. We have to listen and wait for his instruction, but then be open to change, right? The fourth R is to respond. Guess what that is? It's the obedience part. Obey whatever he commands. Listen to what he said, right? So we're going to request, we're going to ask God for his wisdom and his will to be done. We're going to relax. We're just going to trust in his control, trust his power. We know he's got we've got his providence that's taking care of everything. We're going to receive. We're going to listen and wait for his instruction. We're going to remain open to change because we know that that's what God does sometimes. We're going to respond with obedience to whatever he commands and to do it instantaneously and then to rejoice. The fifth R is to rejoice. Worship him regardless of your present circumstances. Now, that's the tricky part for most of us, right, is he tells us to praise him in all circumstances, but sometimes that's kind of hard. And if you read Habakkuk, it almost makes me chuckle because as I go through, especially the third chapter where it's his prayer, he says, you know what, Lord, I've heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, Lord. Repeat them in our day. In our time, make them known. In wrath, remember mercy. God came from Teman, the Holy One from Mount Paran. His glory covered the heavens and his praise filled the earth. His splendor was like the sunrise. Rays flashed from his hand where his power was hidden. Plague went before him. Pestilence followed his steps. He stood and he shook the earth. He looked and he made the nations tremble. The ancient mountains crumbled and the age-old hills collapsed, but he marched on forever. I saw the tents of Cushan in distress, the dwellings of Midian in anguish. And then he's saying just how amazing God is, right, and how he's going to take control of all of the enemies and things like that. He says, were you angry with the rivers, Lord? Was your wrath against the streams? Did you rage against the sea when you rode your horses and your chariots to victory? You uncovered your bow. You called from your many arrows. You split the earth and rivers with mountains. The mountains saw you and rise. Torrents of water swept by. The deep roared and lifted its waves on high. He's talking about all the ways that we are praising him, right? But he says, even though it goes on towards the end, it says, you know, the fig tree doesn't bud and there are no grapes on the vine, though the olive crop fails and the field produces no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in my God and my Savior. So this is even though there's nothing to eat, even though everything is like a big, huge mess, he said, I'm going to praise you regardless. And I think, you know what? What would it be if we started today with our vision for 2017, we decided that no matter what, we are going to stay committed to his vision for us. He goes on in verse 19 to say, the sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of deer. He enables me to tread on the heights. And so what he says is, you know what? I'm not even worried about this, because no matter what, no matter how high, and what he was talking about is the deer used to climb up the mountains, right? They were some of the only animals that could get up high enough to continue to get the greenery and the vegetation, because they had those little tiny feet, and they were created to climb up into the mountains, and they were so tiny, no matter how treacherous the mountain before us would be, they could make it to the top. And that's what he's saying here. He says, you know what? You're my strength. You make my feet like the feet of deer. I'm going to be able to continue to tread up this mountain, and I'm going to be able to get to those heights where the greenery is, where the food is, where you're going to take care of me. And even if I don't understand this mountain, even if I don't understand that I'm going to have to go uphill and continue to go uphill, treacherous hill, you're going to have my back. You're going to strengthen me. And we know, those of us that are part of the John Maxwell team, John always tells us that anything worthwhile is uphill, right? God's saying the same thing. So as we move forward and we continue to think about this blueprint for our future, God says that commitment is imperative. He says that the resources, the wisdom, and the people to make your vision come to fruition will take place, but you've got to commit. He said, go ahead and ask me. That's our request, right? He said, but I want you to trust me. Rest in me. That's the relaxed part. You receive what I have, so listen to me and wait for my instruction. Then respond and do whatever I say, whenever I say to do it. Don't question me. Just do what I say. And then he said, rejoice. Worship me regardless of your present circumstances, because I know what's going on in the heavenlies. I know that I'm going to bring this to fruition. So I hope you're encouraged about your 2017, because I know that God's got an amazing future plan for you. He tells us that in Jeremiah, 1:9 and 29:11, right? So we know that God has got a tremendous and amazing future for you. He wants to give you hope. He wants to give you good things and not to harm you. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, I thank you so much for your love, your grace, and your mercy. I thank you, Lord, that you love us. And even though we don't see the circumstances around us that are moving us into your path and your direction, that they might not even appear to be good, they might be one that we're confused about and we don't understand. But Father God, give us the heart that Habakkuk had, that I'm going to praise you regardless, to know that you are going to take us and give us those feet like deer, that as we go uphill for this very worthwhile 2017 and the vision that you've given us for it, that you are going to prepare us, that you are going to take us there, that you are going to be our strength. We commit right now, Lord, to trust you in every single circumstance, that we will rest and trust you regardless, and we will praise and we will worship you. We will step out and act in faith. We will obey immediately. And Father God, we recommit our life to you, to your vision for our life, to our purpose, and to 2017. Lord, help us to be faithful in all the areas that you've asked us to be faithful in for this year. Lord, I pray that you will continue to help Connie and her husband as they continue to go through his doctorate, Lord, and that you would just help her with her fitness goals, that her cholesterol would be brought down now in Jesus' name, that she would have diligence and commitment to follow through. Lord, we just thank you and praise you for that, because that is so, so important, Lord, that we just know that you have her in the palm of your hand, and that she knows what's causing it, and so she's going to make that change. She's committing right now in Jesus' name. And Father God, we know that the Biltmore job and process is starting today. So we praise you for that, Lord, and we ask that you would continue to call that forth, and that if that is your will for Peter, Lord, that it would open up. Thank you for all the things you've taught him in this process, that you've taught him about persistence already, even though that's his word for 2017, that you've taught him to bloom where he's planted right now so that he can flourish and take his year to the next new place. Lord, I pray that you would continue to guide and direct him and help him to trust and to not rely on his own understanding, but in all his ways acknowledge you and that you're directing his paths. And Father God, I thank you so much that Carol and her husband made it back to Colorado, and that they made it safely, and that Bill's in California today. Lord, I pray that you will help her not only to anticipate this year, but you will help her to take action. Lord, thank you for the excitement that you've given her in her heart. But Lord, I ask that you would take her to that next level, that you would help her to know the steps, and that she would boldly and creatively step into what you have for her there. And Father God, I pray for Gloria Ellen, for Don Lord, that you would help them to just get things going. Lord, that they would be diligent and persistent and that they would stay in that level of commitment, that they're committing to do this regardless, that they don't waver, Lord, that they know that this is what you've asked them to do and that they trust you with their life and with their business so they move forward each and every day. Lord, help them to get it into year, get it going. Lord, and I pray for healing for Gloriella. She's not been feeling well, Father God, so I pray in Jesus' name that you would just heal her now. I ask for continued health and healing in my hand and mobility, Father God, in my wrist and my hand. Lord, I thank you that you have given us the ability to be able to receive your healing and to be able to be your hands and your feet. So, Father God, I ask that you would heal my hand so that I can continue to use it to be your hand here on earth. We love and thank you. We ask for an amazing, amazing week. Help us to be faithful in all that we say and do. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Make it a great week, everybody. I hope that your week is extremely blessed. If you haven't shared your word with me, please go over to Leaders Empowered, the Facebook page, Leaders Empowered. I'd love to be able to see what that is and to hold that in faith with you as we move into 2017. I look forward to being with you guys again next week. Take care, everybody. Bye now.